on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams back with you on ABQ Connect, joined in studio by Ray Mondragon. Ray, how are you, my friend?
Doing great.
Good to see you. I want you to introduce David. We have via Microsoft Teams with us. Hi, David.
Hello. How are you guys? Thank you for having me.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's good to be back with Jim. Usually Steve's the one that does the interviews, but I like to talk sports with him.
So we spend all the breaks talking about Lobo games and all this kind of stuff. David, you're coming to us from Israel. Tell us about him a little bit, Ray.
Well, David is a Messianic Jew, and his primary ministry is to Jewish people. That's why he's in Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, he grew up here in the States, and his parents live here, so he's somewhat of a missionary, you might say. But
yeah, sure.
You've been there, a little over a year now, right, David?
Yeah, we immigrated here about 4 years ago.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we have myself and my family, and I have two children in the IDF and two kids in high school.
Yeah, yeah. David, I would say that you've probably chosen one of the more difficult ministries that I can even imagine. So it's really got to be the Holy Spirit that's moving. Israel is a lot going on there. Are you doing okay? Family safe? All of that?
Yeah, praise God we're safe. You know, unfortunately, we've known many people in the past 2 years. I hate to say this, that were murdered, that were killed. I have friends who have lost children, friends whose kids were murdered on October 7th. People, you know, good friend of mine whose entire extended family was murdered on October 7th. So it has not been easy in any way, shape, or form. But God is faithful, and he's working all things together for good according to those who love him, and we certainly love him, and we want to share the good news of Yeshua, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, so that our fellow neighbors and Israelis can also know the hope that we have in him.
David, you also have two children and understand serving in the IDF.
That's correct. My son is a combat commander in the IDF, so he's been at war the past 2 years. And then my oldest daughter is actually a tank mechanic, so she turns wrenches.
She's only been there, a couple of months, though, right?
Right, yeah, she just entered a few months ago.
Well, obviously, we're going to talk today about, you know, a lot of people say, well, there's going to be peace in the Middle East now and all of this, and that seems to be pretty contrary to what the Bible says. Ray, how did you get to know David, and what are the things we're going to talk about today?
Actually, I met David primarily through Chafer Seminary here in the U.S., mm-hmm. And at a couple of conferences that we've had, and we've stayed in contact because of my interest in Israel and obviously his interest. So we've had some great conversations. In fact, I had airline tickets to do some seminars in Israel, and because of the war, that was put off. And so David and I still have plans to jointly do some seminars there, related to, obviously, the Hebrew scriptures, but scriptures in general. So yeah. David and I go back, 6-7 years or so?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been great.
We're going to get more in depth in this because we've got another 40 minutes or so with you all the way up until 2 o'clock Mountain Time. What time is it in Israel right now, David?
Right now it is 10:22.
Okay. Well, thanks for staying up late,
at
my
night.
Friend. Yeah, thanks for staying up. I wanted to, there are social media, and I even hate saying that it's media, because it seems like there's no actual ethics of media anymore. There's no verifying anything. There's just, you just say whatever you want to say, and then you try to get a whole bunch of people to follow you, and that seems to be the motive. And truth and discernment and actual verification of facts seems not to be the day. David, you started our conversation by saying that you have a number of friends that were murdered as Hamas came into Israel and kidnapped and killed people. Yet there seems to be a sentiment that is anti, I don't know if it's anti-Israel, maybe anti-Semitism is the same thing. I know those definitions get blurred a little bit because people will say, oh, well, we believe in Israel, but there's people that are in control of Israel that you know, we're doing the wrong things. And they just make up all of this stuff, forgetting about the terrible atrocities committed against the nation. And you've been a firsthand observer of all of this. How do you feel like Israel can communicate well to properly inform the rest of the world, I guess, is my question.
Actually, the main things that David is going to do for us is to clear up some of these misconceptions and these distortions.
Ask
and,
some of those.
And lies.
Right.
So,
yeah,
go ahead. Answer.
Well, I'll do my
Jim's
best.
Question.
I think, unfortunately, I think this kind of puts the onus on Israel when I'm not really sure that is something that, I mean, I understand Israel has a responsibility to give information and to say things and make statements regarding the war. And it has done so. And I think it's done a pretty good job, although I do believe that no matter what Israel says and does, to an ear that will not hear, to an ear that is already predisposed to believe the other side of the equation, that it doesn't matter what Israel says or does, no matter what evidence we provide, we will be ignored, we will be called liars. And unfortunately, that is the case. With the past 2 years and the current war, but not just this war, but you can kind of go back in history to every defensive war we've ever fought, which all the wars we've ever fought, at least in the renewed state of Israel, have been defensive wars. And so people have a decision to make. They can either leave the propaganda or the what I call lies coming out of the mouth of Hamas, or they can believe a free democratic society, which is Israel, which has, you know, 20% of our population are Arab, totally free, totally able to vote. We have Arab members of parliament. We have Arab members in the Supreme Court. And so Arabs are a completely free population within Israel and are not discriminated in any way, shape, or form. So people have a decision to make. They can either choose to believe Hamas, who live streamed the murder of over 1,000 Israeli civilians on October 7th, or they can believe a free democratic society that values life above all things.
Mm. David, yeah. you have a book. Tell us about that and how you address some of these issues in your book.
Yeah, so I think most of the, you know, unfortunately, the what I've seen in the last 2 years is I call it a re-rise or a resurgence of anti-Semitism in the church, which is extremely disturbing to me. I think it's throughout history, we've seen the status quo of the nations or the world to be anti-Semitic or to be anti-Israelite, whether that was in the Hebrew Bible or even, you know, in modern times with the Holocaust, et cetera. But to see it happen in the church is something that fortunately is not a new thing, but I think it is surprising to a lot of people. And so the new book is called The Rooted Kingdom. That's The Rooted Kingdom, Solving the Riddle of Israel, the Church, and the Kingdom. And really what we do is it's a co-author with my friend Cole Morganti, but really what we do is we walk through definitions of Israel, the Church or the Assembly of Messiah, the nations, and the Kingdom, and how understanding these four definitions is so critical to your individual Bible study and understanding the Bible as a whole, because we are really and kind of have always been since about the fourth within the church community, unsure of our identity. Are we the true Israel? Are we not the true Israel? Is Israel still a thing? Are the Jewish people cursed? Are they not cursed? Like, there's all these questions that arise in the mind of Christians, which are understandable. But once we define these things biblically, what is biblical Israel? It begins to clarify so much of what is happening today into the renewed state of Israel, which, you know, really began in the 1850s. So it's really a book about identity, which, again, connected to today's, I think, identity crisis, not just about Israel, but across the spectrum of humanity, is pretty cogent.
We are visiting today with David Halevy and Ray Mondragon, and I think everybody's familiar with Ray. David is in Israel. He's a Messianic Jew. He's written a book called The Rooted Kingdom, Solving the Riddle of Israel, the Church, and the Kingdom, co-written with Cole Morganti. David is living in Israel for the last 3-4 years, has seen firsthand all of the tragic events going on. And we're going to talk more about those. And we're going to talk about the perception of the world, talk a little bit more about the church and how they seem to not be backing Israel wholeheartedly. And so I hope you'll stay with us. I think it's going to be a real interesting conversation. More coming up from ABQ Connect right after these messages. We are talking today with David Halevi. He is a Messianic Jew living in Israel right now, and he's written a book called The Rooted Kingdom, Solving the Riddle of Israel and the Church. And we have Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship. Everybody knows about Creation Science Fellowship. They meet once a month. Their next meeting is November 18th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's the name of the Baptist church that they meet at?
It's not a Baptist. It's a Bible church.
Oh, Bible church.
Faith,
okay.
Faith Bible Church.
Faith Bible Church, and it's over near the intersection of Zuni and Central.
Yep. Or Moon and Central.
Moon and Central. Yeah. Right. What a great and go over all kinds of different creation science things. There's so much. Ray, you've even written a book called Science, Is God Shouting? Right. We used to ask questions. I think when I met you 8 years ago, I used to ask you questions like, well, is science contrary to the Bible? And now we've graduated to literally, you believe, the Bible shouts as to the existence of God.
And that's the title, Science Is God Shouting. And I try to make the point that the creation that was created by God in the beginning, obviously, also displays something of the nature of God. And if God is the creator, then we would expect that what he has revealed in his word would be in conformity to what he created.
Yeah.
And scientifically, if you follow that through, you actually can demonstrate that. And that's what I try to do in the book, is to demonstrate that the creation does not conflict scripture in spite of secular science. In fact, I make a distinction between secular science and what I would call a biblical worldview of science. And I try to demonstrate the fallacy of evolution, for example, which is not even a good theory, etc. The secular mind discards the revelation.
Hey, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. After interviewing you for 6 or 8 years, and David will appreciate this, the so-called theory of revolution is just plain silly.
Yep.
It doesn't even
evolution.
There's no transition of species. There's no record in the fossil record. When you start talking about the origins of life, which evolution doesn't really address that. It only addresses what happens after life was created.
Yep.
But the whole thing is totally unscientific. But when you begin to see that there's a creator, I mean, there's just it opens up amazing doors. David, what have you and Ray talked about at these seminars? Ray's talking about creation science, and you're talking about history and tribalism, and you guys must have some crazy conversations.
Well, there's actually so many parallels between the lie or the falsity of evolution as being an actual theory, and also the what I would call a lie of the Palestinian movement. These are both things that are rooted in evidence that doesn't exist. And this isn't to be contentious or to try to devalue the Arab people in any way, shape, or form. This has come out of the mouth of the Arab leaders for over 50 years now. In fact, we had Bashar Assad's father in the late 1970s. He specifically says that the Palestinians are not a thing. There is no Palestinian movement, and that the Arabs claiming Palestinian statehood are actually just Syrian. And so it's amazing what can happen once a lie is told time and time again, over and over again, that people just pick it up and run with it, regardless of being there, that there's no evidence for it.
Yeah, Israel is actually more in a propaganda war than they are on a physical war.
That's right.
And the propaganda war has gone on for centuries, essentially.
Well, yeah, since God created us as a nation, I think people have been lying about us, knowing that we're the center of his plan in all things.
Well, you've heard my talks on anti-Semitism. I trace it all the way back to the fall of man and the curse of Satan. Genesis 3:15, I think, was the beginning of anti-Semitism, anticipating the seed of the woman that would come through Israel. I see that war as a demonic, satanic war that has gone on essentially all of man's history. So, why don't you give us a little bit of an update of what's going on in Israel today, especially particularly after now that the hostages have been released? And what's the attitude on the ground now? And have things changed in terms of reaching people? I know that during the war, you had a lot of opportunities to share the gospel with Jewish people because of the awareness that life is short and who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Give us a little bit of an update on what's going on there today now that the war supposedly is over, although you still have surrounding enemies that will never cease trying to destroy you.
Yeah, so let me first talk about, I think, the most important thing that we've seen, which is the openness of Israelis. As actually, Israelis were already open to the gospel before the war. But, you know, about 75% of the country is considered secular, so they're not particularly religious. It doesn't mean that they're atheists or agnostic, but they're not what we would consider orthodox as far as or ultra-orthodox Jewish people. So in general, Israelis are open to having conversations, and, you know, we like talking about Israelis in general, the three things that most Americans don't like talking about, which is money, religion, and politics. So those are always on the table, and it creates, lends itself to lively conversation. But the war has certainly opened hearts and minds too, I think, as any tragedy would. You know, why are we here? What is the purpose in life? Why, if there is a God, did he allow these things to happen? And so that environment has allowed us into the hearts and minds of our, you know, our soldiers, our neighbors, our loved ones who aren't believers. And so, JoshProject.org keeps track of lots of statistics going on in the church worldwide. But something we've seen for a long time in Israel is that the church in Israel is growing at 2.5 times the rate of the rest of the world. And that is really unprecedented when you particularly me as a Jew, when I think about the Jewish people, the status quo has always been, basically since the second century, that Jews don't believe in Jesus. So something that's very exciting for us, and it's something that is very important for the world to understand, that yes, we have a physical war going on, but the battle is always going to be not flesh and blood, but, you know, powers of the air, principalities, and everything like that, of course, what Paul talks about. So the battle is really for the souls of Israelis and Jewish people worldwide, and that's why we do what we do. So that's very encouraging to me, and although it's been extremely difficult and very challenging the last 2 years, we've had the ability and the opportunity, because of the war, to share the gospel with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Israelis, both as soldiers and not and just civilians alike.
Tell us a little bit about also the Builders of Israel, the organization that you have founded and the one that you work through in reaching Jews.
Sure. Yeah. So I should have mentioned that earlier, but thanks, Ray. Yeah. So I'm the founder and director of Builders of Israel. And so our mission is to build the remnant of Israel to be a light unto the nations. And that just means that we want to see Jewish people worldwide, but particularly because we're in Israel, Israelis, come to faith, and as the remnant population, the believing population of Israel, which there has always been, of course, a believing population who followed the God of Israel, and that's no different today. It's just that it looks a little different, I think, in previous, just because now we're a part of the Assembly of Messiah, or part of the church when we come to faith. So that's what Builders of Israel exists to do. And so we are an evangelism and discipleship ministry. We are heavily focused on apologetics and also training others to share the gospel with his Jewish people as well. There's another book we have called Returning the Favor, An Ambassador's Guide to the Jewish People, which helps people to do that. So that's what our organization does in Israel. And so if people are interested in finding out more, they can go to buildersofisrael.org.
You might also mention the more recent ministry as a result of the war that you have to the IDF.
Yes. So actually, I can't go into specifics there.
Is that,
on the radio.
Security?
Because of security reasons. So, but I can say that we're doing some really interesting things on the ground in Israel that really get into for security reasons. But
David, can I ask you a personal question? So
whatever you'd like.
There's been some, I've been confronted in the past with how I felt about people that I would now consider my enemies. But I can't imagine that I would define them as you would define Israel's enemies. And we're commanded to love our enemies. Do you have Arab people that don't agree with your faith? Do you have people that don't share your faith that you love and you care about and you have a relationship with them?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for the first half of the war, I worked every single day with an Arab Muslim man from the West Bank. And we didn't agree on anything.
Yeah.
So, but I love him. And I think in some ways he probably loves me. I don't, you know, it's hard to say sometimes, but, yeah, absolutely. Then this is the predicament that we're in because as believers, 100%, we are commanded to volitionally love our neighbors. And that is something we choose to do. Our enemies, and that is something we have to choose to do on a daily basis. And that's not easy when your neighbor wants to shoot your faith, shoot you in the head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the nature of, right? So we are in a strange thing where we pray for our enemies to come to faith. We pray that they will see the light of Jesus of Nazareth. But at the same time, we have to be prepared to defend our families from death. And so it's a very difficult, you know, scenario to be in.
And do you feel like you've seen God's protection on you and your family?
Oh, I know for certain. He saved my son's life in Gaza from an IED. It's a whole miraculous story there. For 13 days, we sat in our bunker during the Iran war. I know people call it the 12-day war. It was really 13 days. I claim every 13 of them. But we sat in our bunker like the rest of the country did as 100-foot-long missiles were sent in, some of them hypersonic from Iran, and destroyed high-rise buildings and killed our population around us. And so, without doubt, the hand of God is on the nation of Israel and us as a family. But I will say, like I said, you know, kind of opening up here in the beginning, you know, believers here in Israel are dying alongside unbelievers. Like everyone else. And so, I mean, I've, again, personal friends who have lost their children in the war. So it doesn't mean that God protects only the believers and not the unbelievers. He's working in situations which I don't think we'll totally understand until he returns, you know, and enlightens us. But so we suffer alongside everyone else. The only difference is that we have the hope that we will see each other if any of us do end up dying. And also just when we do die, we know exactly going to happen to us and where we're going.
Yes. Yes. I love that.
David also has two daughters that are still at home. And this is also kind of a concern in terms of their safety and that sort of thing. But it's also building faith in them as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, once you go through these circumstances, really realize really quickly that you're either going to die or you're not going to die. And so you can't live in constant fear all the time. And we certainly haven't been. We've moved on beyond that initial shock. So, but for certain, you know, our children totally understand that God is in control no matter what happens.
I love it. We're going to take a quick break and say thank you to our sponsors, David. I hope you can hang on for one more segment. We're going to come back and talk about Zionism, and then we're going to talk about the proper view of Israel, or let's say correct view and what is true. We'll be back with David Halevy and Ray Mondragon right after these messages. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. If you're just joining us, we have Ray Mondragon. Of course, he talks about creation science and his book called Science Is God Shouting. I love the title. I think the creation itself does shout as to the existence of God. And the more we know about science, the more it supports that there's a creator. We have David Halevy. He is in Israel. Thanks for staying up so late, David. I hope you sleep well after you're on the radio with us. You only got another few minutes with us. But let me pitch it to Ray. And Ray, we're going to talk a little bit about Zionism and a view of Israel that might be more accurate than some of us are getting from the news media.
Well, there is a lot of confusion within the body of Christ, within the church itself. A lot of people don't have a proper understanding of the nation itself and its relationship to the Bible and all these issues. One of the areas is the whole concept of Zionism. Why don't you kind of define the issue for us and explain the biblical viewpoint on the whole issue of Zionism?
Sure, yeah. I mean, particularly today, Zionism, or the term Zionist, is equated with Nazi, which is really bizarre and strange. But it really just comes from the term Zion in Hebrew, which means Zion, or it's a title that God uses for Mount Moriah and then Jerusalem, and then the children of Israel are known as the daughters of Zion or Zion. So Zionut or Zionism is simply the belief that the Jewish people, generally known as the descendants of biblical Jacob, have the right to exist in their historic homeland of Israel. So whether that's by divine right or legally acquired means, Israel is a legitimate owner of said territory with all rights and privileges thereof. So the term Zionism comes from this Zion, the holy mountain. And I argue specifically that Zionism is not a human invention. This is a God-invented thing, that he will see Israel inhabit the land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a God-secured thing because he's the one in Genesis 15 that walks through the animals. He alone
Abrahamic covenant
secures the covenant of the land covenant with Israel. It's a God-advanced thing. He is the one advancing this idea. And finally, it's a God-accomplished thing through human beings, but ultimately, when Yeshua returns to earth, he rules and reigns from where? From Zion, from Israel. And so it's a physical place, a physical promise that will certainly be fulfilled in the future under Yeshua's rule and reign.
Add on to that, a lot of people have confusion over Israel itself in terms of right. Israel as a nation, Israel biblically, etc. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure, yeah. And, you know, A.W. Tozer once said that what we think about when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I really think that what we think about when we think about Israel is perhaps the second most important thing about us. Because if we get Israel wrong, over 2,500 times the Bible uses the term Israel. So if we get that wrong, we really get the Bible wrong. And so this is a big thing. So Israel is a nation created by God, not just created. Remember, God changes Sarai's womb to be able to have Isaac. And then, of course, Jacob and the 12 sons after that, which become the 12 tribes of Israel and the nation of Israel. So the nation of Israel is created by God. And he makes specific promises to her, not just of land, seed, and blessing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but also of a future kingdom. This is something that's promised to David in 2 Samuel. So it's, I think, the most important thing, and perhaps the most clarifying thing to think about when we think about Israel, that it's an unchanging nation. What do I mean by that? I mean that regardless of time, leadership of the nation, covenant the nation's under, location of the nation, meaning are they in the land, are they out of the land, percentage of belief, how many Jews are following God, how many Jews are not following God, a type of leadership over the nation, whether it's Moses or Joshua or judges or a king or a prophet or a foreign entity, as we saw with Babylonians, Greeks, and Romans, right? Regardless of any of these criteria, none of them actually affects the definition of the nation of Israel, because God created her to be a nation before him forever. And all of the ways that we, as, you know, kind of human secularists in our thinking, would define a nation, that's not how God defines the nation. So, and actually Judaism has actually no effect on the definition of the nation either. So the biblical nation of Israel is the same today as it always has been. So a lot of times when people say the modern state, I think that it kind of works, right? But it's really the renewed state of Israel, because we see when we look at the modern state today in the land, or the renewed state, is exactly what we should expect to see when we examine passages like Ezekiel 36 and 37, which is the dry bones prophecy, because we see the nation of Israel coming back into the land, very importantly, in unbelief. God says, I'm regathering you from the nations for my name's sake. I'm tired of my name being blasphemed among the nations, so I'm gathering you back into the land. And the last thing that he does is breathes his spirit back into this lifeless body. So what we should expect to see is exactly what we see today. Jews that have returned to the land, Israelites returning to the land in unbelief, not following God, and then only later is his spirit poured back into them.
Yeah, we believe in a future spiritual restoration of the nation of Israel before, at least if we're pre-millennial, we believe that Christ, before the Messiah returns, as right, part of the return of the Messiah.
Correct.
I am. This is all very fascinating, and obviously, in a 1 hour radio show, we can't cover all the bases. But David has founded an organization called BuildersOfIsrael.org. BuildersOfIsrael.org. He's also the author of a couple different books, or at least participated. The one that he's written recently is The Rooted Kingdom: Solving the Riddle of Israel, the Church, and the Kingdom. I'm assuming that's available on anywhere you can order books, like Amazon, et cetera?
Yes, that's correct, Jim.
Okay. Yes. And then Ray has also written a book recently called Science: Is God Shouting? You worked on that for a good 4 or 5 years. I just appreciate the scholarship, Ray, the way, you know, the dedication. Mm-hmm. And so maybe quickly, we only have about a minute left. Do you both see fruit from the ministries that you have, and you see people coming to Christ?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. David, do you have Arabs and Israelis both come into faith through what you're doing?
We do, and we have Arab believers now that are working right alongside us in sharing the gospel.
Right.
Wow. Cool stuff. And that's obviously the Holy Spirit. Last question. There is a growing anti-Semitism. That's obviously spiritual warfare. And can you prophesy what's going to happen, David? I mean, how do you see this working out?
David the prophet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't. All I can do is refer to actual prophets, right? And so, unfortunately, what we see, biblically speaking, is that anti-Semitism will only get worse, and anti-Israel sentiment will only get worse under a more growing global effort to eliminate Israel from the face of the earth. But the promise that we have is that God has his hand upon us, that we will be a nation before him forever, Jeremiah 31, 35 to 37. And so I'm secure in my position before God and our nation's future. What worries me, though, is that the nations coming against Israel, unfortunately, do not have that same guarantee. And so the solution to this problem, of course, is that we just keep sharing the gospel. We share the gospel, share the gospel, share the gospel, and let God do what he do.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard for Christians to let the Holy Spirit do what he does.
And we need to share the gospel with Jewish people.
Yeah.
With Jewish people first is what Paul says.
Yeah. Well, I know some people that call themselves Christians that need the gospel shared with them.
That's true.
And you know, the compromising of the truth of what the word says is becoming more and more prevalent in the church. And so, you know, standing on what Scripture says, I think, is really important. Appreciate both of the ministries that you have. David, what's the schedule for tonight? You got to prepare for 3 more seminars and stay up till 1 in the morning?
I'm hoping just some ice cream.
Ice cream and hit the sack. I love that. Ray, what's next for you?
Well, I wanted to promo Creation Science Fellowship, but thank you, David, and it's good to talk to you again. We'll talk some more after. But November 18th, CSF has their regular meeting. This will be the last one of the year. Mark Burton, he's actually one of our own here in Albuquerque. He will be doing the presentation on systems biology. And I'm not totally sure I know everything about it, so
Good reason for you to go.
I'm planning on being there. But,
David, Ray, thank you for joining us. Both of you are much appreciated.
Our pleasure.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.